Have you ever thought about changing your name to Ricky Fontaine?
Nope, never have. I've never thought about that. Here's probably what it would be.
Emile Fontaine.
It'd be Joe Michaels.
Like, you never thought about changing your name on the radio.
Well, I just told you, like, that
Joel Michaels.
It's the classic, like, you take your middle name and then your first name, but you make your middle name your first name and your first name your last name.
Oh, it's so, like a naming convention.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, radio people that
really
did that. Oh yeah. So, like, I'd be Joe Michaels on the radio.
Joe Michaels on the morning drive. It's time for your school lunch menus. Over there in Parker, they're having meatloaf and vegetable medley. Welcome to our computer radio program, the Differentiated Business Podcast, with Joe Michaels and Big Jim Ted the First. Joe Michaels the Fourth.
Yeah.
Last time we shared some fascinating research out of Hunchporth, Pennsylvania on sonic mood induction and its effect on creativity in the workplace. I'd like to share some more research today.
Related to the same topic?
Well, I'm concerned this is becoming just another one of these scientific programs that only talks about the latest fascinating research.
I don't know. It seems like most of the really like scientific shows I've watched lately have like a Marvel character voicing them.
Of all the things we could be talking about, we could be talking about basketball right now. That would be topical. We could talk about mushroom coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about the great Northeast Minnesota notable owl eruption. You've been into this lately, haven't you?
I've missed this. That'd be worth a chat.
An influx of great gray owls and boreal owls in Northeast Minnesota? You've been into this, haven't you?
No.
You've been getting into this.
But I'm gonna.
The great Northeast Minnesota notable owl eruption. Are you interested in driving innovation and creativity in the workplace? Have you considered doing... Were you going to answer?
Well, yes, I am.
Are you interested? And I could do it like Big Jim Ted would do.
Yeah, please do it. 3, 2, 1.
Are you interested in driving innovation and creativity in the workplace?
Oh, I am.
Have you considered doing what the ancient Celts did? Constructing a round stone tower of paramagnetic materials at the center of your operation?
I have not.
Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't.
You don't know any businesses that are constructing stone towers.
No, but I could get behind it, and here's why. Because I feel like whenever you do like manual work like that, it frees the mind.
You're coming at it from a different angle. I like this.
Yeah.
Like this is a different perspective.
You're picking up the stones, you're moving the stones, you're arranging them in a certain way to like build a secure tower. It's going to feel good. You're going to get the blood flowing.
This is a different perspective.
It's going to be nice.
So you're saying that you're going to be more creative because you've got this good diffuse brain energy happening.
Yeah, and it's probably a shared activity with others, so you're going to like build some rapport and you're going to collaborate.
This is different.
Cooperate.
That's not why the ancient Celts did it.
Well, we should take a more modern look at it.
Most people think that the towers were made as bell towers or lookouts. Some people think that it was just an activity to bring people together so that there was diffused brain energy and they would be more creative. Some people think that.
Party tower.
Joe Michaels thinks that, mm-hmm. Or John Michaels, or James Michaels, is that your name?
Joe Michaels.
Big Joe Michaels? But that's not what Philip Callahan thought. Philip Callahan, American scientist out of Hunchporth. I think he's out of Hunchporth, Pennsylvania. He thought something else. Callahan theorized that these towers, built with paramagnetic materials like sandstone, limestone, or basalt, functioned as natural antennas, capturing cosmic microwaves and accumulating magnetic energy. Any feedback for American scientist Philip Callahan?
Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, okay, he theorized this,
yeah,
but he had to have something to support this theory.
Well, then he tested it.
He built one.
I don't think he built one. I think he built some small ones.
He just hung around by them.
Yeah, maybe.
He just found them and just hung around by them and channeled some energy, some cosmic energy. All right.
Any more feedback for him?
Well, not right yet.
That was the popular computer radio segment, Feedback is a Gift, with Big Joe Michaels the Fourth. Years ago, we had a book club, And we actually, my book selection killed the book club because I wanted to read something by Callahan. And I wanted to read a book called Tuning Into Nature. I think I was the only one that finished it. But mm-hmm. it was about magnetic energy in nature and how insects and plants, they're emitting frequencies that humans can't detect. But that's how nature is run, baby.
Well, I mean, look at me.
That's how it works,
look how
baby.
Magnetic I am. Look how.
But so that book killed the book club. But there was another book that he wrote about these stone towers that the ancient Celts built. And he proved that magnetic energy improves soil fertility and crop vitality. That's a fact. Irish sheep herders know this. They take their sheep. They take their herds. They take their flocks to the base of these round towers because the grass is always greener, baby. You've heard that old saying.
Yeah,
grass is always greener at the base of an ancient round tower.
Yep, I've heard that saying many times. Yep. Grass is always greener at the base of a sandstone tower in Ireland.
Some studies suggest. Now, here's where it gets real, okay? Some studies suggest that magnetic stimulation can affect brain activity and potentially enhance certain cognitive functions like creativity.
So we should build a stone tower in the middle of our space.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Would you rather just talk about the big basketball tournament?
Nope. Well, maybe a little bit.
So I take all the information I have, which is basically the name of the town.
Yeah.
Or a college, probably. It's probably a college name. Sometimes it's just a letter, you know? Sometimes it's like VCU. They're the Cougars, you know? You don't get much out of that.
Yeah, so you're taking all the information that you have stored up in all of your years of being a sports fan.
Oh, just a huge sports balls fan.
Aaron Murtha, a creative director at Fresh Produce, is a big-time sports fan.
There's quadrants. I knew this from previous years. There's kind of quadrants, and you choose who you think is going to win out of those quadrants.
Yep. Murtha, also known for her sporty nickname Tiny McKittens, has differentiated herself in this year's NCAA tournament bracket by using a very innovative strategy to select her winners.
But one thing I think that we don't pay enough attention to in the sport of basketball is the mascots. So what I did is I went through all of the mascots that I know of. And the ones that I didn't, I just kind of filled in the blanks, just kind of going off of vibes, and decided who would win out of those mascots. Mm-hmm. You know, what team's easiest to cheer for, what team just has the coolest moves that keep you in the groove when that mascot's out on the field.
Yep. Do you have any dark horses in this year's tournament?
Well, for me, I think one kind of upset is so I don't think they're going to go all the way, but the New Mexico Abuelos, I'm really excited for them. I think they're going to get right to the end and then just kind of get beat out by the Louisville Crickets.
Louisville Crickets. Who else? What are some other picks that you have that you're excited about?
Well, the Wofford Hound Dogs, you know, Wofford, mm-hmm. says Hound Dogs, makes sense. They would go up against the Worm Dogs. They make it up to the City Dogs. Then the Illinois City Dogs take them. Take them down. City Dogs almost make it to the end. But the real champ, I really think, this year is going to be the BYU. They got the Slells, S-L-E-L. So it's
tell us about them. This is a unique mascot. I think a lot of people are wondering about the Slells.
Yeah. The Slells this year are really going to sell it.
BYU, it has some connection to Wall Street, is that right?
Well, yeah, because BYU is like buy, but it's just spelled wrong. And so that's why the Slell is like sell, but it's spelled wrong.
I guess in college basketball, I didn't realize how many dogs there were. There are a lot of different types of dogs.
You know, there's a lot of different dogs. There's a lot of different snakes.
Give me a rundown on all the different dogs.
Oh, gosh. We got the Worm Dogs. We got the Hound Dogs. We've got the the Yacht Boys, that's not a dog, but it's just a fun one to name. We got the Snake Dogs, which are always good.
Yeah.
Oh, there's also the Poodles. Marquette Poodles.
Yep.
It's kind of an unexpected team. Mm-hmm. Mud Puppies, that's a dog.
Teams that everybody else might be high on, but you just don't see it happening this year.
You know, I was hoping the Robert Morris Schoolboys would get a little further.
Yeah.
But they really got schooled this year.
My favorite has to be the word of mouths. The Tennessee word of mouths. Now, how far are they getting this year?
Unfortunately, they're really sucking it up.
Yeah.
They got immediately beat by the Wolfords, which is a huge upset. Unexpected, if you look at the numbers.
McKittens currently sits in 17th place in her competitive sports bracket with 48 total points.